o'clock on Monday night. Do you know where your Twitter mom's at?
Oh, it's Kiva on Indie Views. It's Kiva Artist Interview. Right now on Butterflies
Radio,
where it's all indie all the
Welcome to this week's Butterflies Radio Indie Views Artist Spotlight, featuring New York alternative artist, songwriter, musician Melissa Van Fleet. Melissa has successfully created her own unique sound, combining influences from rock, soul, and blues. In addition to her seasoned and consistent voice and her ability to play instruments by ear, Melissa's honest lyrics and catchy, moving melodies earn her much appraisal among listeners. Melissa is a self-taught vocalist with over 20 years of extensive dance training. Growing up in Pennsylvania, Melissa frequently worked with acclaimed pop and R&B producers in New York City and New Jersey. In 2008, she was recruited to Nashville, where she lived and worked for 4 years, playing at venues like the Bluebird Cafe and Ellendale's. Now living in New York City, you can hear her perform at the Hard Rock Cafe in Philadelphia every Wednesday in September as an artist in residence. I really enjoyed my time with Melissa in my interview, and I really hope you enjoy it and see what fun she is. And you might remember her from Twitter Tuesday Live, where Melissa did her whole show, her whole interview, in her car from a McDonald's parking lot. So, like I said, Melissa is just a ton of fun. And welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you for doing this. Yeah. This will be fun. Where do you live? What town do you live
in? I'm in Georgetown, Kentucky. It's right outside Lexington.
Oh, yeah, okay. Are you familiar with Liberty, Kentucky?
I've heard of it, yeah. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, it's like, I think a little bit south of Lexington. That's where my drummer's from. He lives in Pennsylvania now, but.
Yeah, and it's a small town.
Oh, yeah, I mean, very small.
I grew up in Ashland, which was right on.
Oh, yeah.
It's right across the river from Huntington, West Virginia, and Ironton, Ohio.
Is that where that big plant is with all the lights and everything? I know when we're getting through there. Yeah, I'm very familiar with that.
Yep, it's the refinery. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Yep, that's where I grew up.
Oh, wow.
So.
Isn't that where Billy Ray Cyrus grew up or something?
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
You probably get that all the time.
Actually, yes. He's a little bit older than me, and he was in a rock band, and my cousin was actually his drummer in the rock band. And yeah, I've never told anybody this before.
Oh,
it's so weird.
That's funny.
And he played the senior prom when I was a freshman with his rock band. And then he went country and got big. Like, I think I was out of high school when he got big, but the Judds were really big
when I was in school. Uh-huh.
And now I want to talk about your residency at the Hard Rock in Philadelphia. You just started it.
Yeah, yesterday. Uh-huh.
And that goes through September every Wednesday night, right?
Yeah.
And talk about how you got that opportunity. And
On Wednesdays, I play from 5 to 7. And it's right in central Philadelphia in the Hard Rock. It's on 12th and Market Street. And, yeah.
And it's for all ages, too. So.
Yes, it's all ages, no cover. It's during happy hour, so, you know, they have specials and things like that.
And that's all kinds of win, because for me, too, like my daughter's 19 now,
mm-hmm.
and I like to be able to go to all-age shows if they're there, so she can go with me.
Definitely.
Just so she can kind of see what I do.
Right, exactly.
So it's always good when you have those.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I try to target my shows to be all ages, just for that reason, because, you know, I have cousins who are younger who like to go, and friends, you know, as well. So
it's hard when you have to tell them, I'm sorry, you can't come see me play.
Exactly.
And I think the irony is you get musicians that are under 21 that are playing in the bars.
Yeah,
And they can play, but then, you know, their cousins sisters or brothers can't come see them. So.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I always like it when it makes it available, you know, to everyone.
Definitely.
Well, I'm excited for you to get to do that. And how did you get that opportunity?
Thank you. Yeah. I think it was just one of those kind of, I can't remember exactly, you know, it was one of those things that was booked so long ago, but I can't remember if we reached out to them or if they reached out to us, but somehow we got a hold of the marketing director at that specific Hard Rock. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact details, but yeah, it was either way there. Not sure exactly, but usually
still you've got to be good to be there. I mean, either way, you've got to be good.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I mean, I'm not exactly sure how they picked the talent either. I know that they said that for pretty much the whole month of September, they don't have a lot of shows going on. I know that sometimes they have I think it's a contest run by Reverb Nation called Hard Rock Rising. And
Twitter Rose does that in Hollywood.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, they have it in all the different hard rocks all around. I don't know if it's the world or the country. I'm not really up to speed on all that. But yeah, the sound person was telling me about it last night. And so that's, another cool opportunity for indie musicians,
Yeah, and I like that, that it's an institution and they've got all the memorabilia for everybody to come see, but then they let people listen to up-and-coming musicians
and
experience that, and I think it's great.
Oh, yeah, it's so cool. I think that's, one of the really neat things, and that's what, I was talking to somebody who was there last night, and they were saying, you never know what you're going to hear when you come here, if it's,
yeah.
And, they were really thrilled with our show, but there's it is fun, and that's what's fun about the Hard Rock too. Every time I've gone to one, is you don't know who's going to be playing or what you're going to be hearing. But
the first song of the night is the artist choice song of the night called "Sleeping in the Fire."
Now, you're in New York, right?
Yeah.
So are you staying in Philadelphia, or is it a commute that you can make easily?
Well, what's nice about it, my parents I grew up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and my parents still live in the house that I grew up in. So it's kind of like a perfect place to – it's right in the middle of everything. So, I'm in New York, but I'm also – I frequent home a lot, and I – I'm able to stay there, and then we can go to Philly, and we can go to New York from there. And, it's just kind of like a – starting point where I can, it's really in a great location, actually.
Yeah, and then you get to come back and visit,
absolutely.
Your family. So.
Yeah, you can't beat that, of course. So, and I've been playing also, I have another residency at a place in Jim Thorpe, PA, and that is, you know, it's a, it's called Broadway Grill and Pub, and it's a really fun place. It's, Jim Thorpe is the name of the town. It used to be called Mock Chunk, I think, but,
I was going to say, yeah. Jim Thorpe, if anybody doesn't know who Jim Thorpe is, he was in, is it football or baseball?
Football. Yeah. He's a football player.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool that they changed it. I used to be a sports writer.
Oh, you
so,
do? Well, there yeah. you go.
So you said that name. I was like, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, well, they named the whole town after him. And but yeah, it's a cute little town. I love it so much. And every time I go, I love it that much more. And it's really fun. I play for 3 hours and at that place specifically. And, you know, I play at least once a week, I think. I don't know. It's another good place to play. So
that's really good that you get places that you can kind of call home.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, even when I was living in Nashville, I lived in Nashville for 4 years. And I had another place like that called Ellendale's where I played all the time. And you really start, like after 2 years there, I started to really feel comfortable and, you know, start experimenting with new songs and things like that. But I love playing shows where I can, you know, take my song list book and people can request and I'm kind of like their jukebox for the night. So then, you know, they're hearing what they want to hear, you know, so.
Well, because you've done some really, really good covers.
Oh, thank you.
And one of them, I want you to talk a little bit about, you covered Wasps Sleeping in the Fire.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, that's, you know, a band that I grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, the hair bands of the 80s.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I so have to ask her about that and ask, you know, about Randy Piper, you know, giving
yes.
him a shout out and how
yeah,
that went.
No, it's been awesome. That's a song, like you said, I mean, I grew up with listening to Wasp as well. My dad used to rock me to sleep to all that music, and it's
oh.
the only kind of music I could fall asleep to when I was a baby.
He's a good dad.
Yeah, he's amazing. And yeah, so I always love Wasp, of course, and that song is just so beautiful. I just always love that song. It's so haunting and just really greatly written. And I actually originally did the song and the video as a birthday present for him, and I didn't ever intend for anybody to hear it. I just thought, you know, I like to do birthday presents and songs for people that I know that they like, you know, people in my family and stuff. And
yeah.
And I did that song, and after I did that, he was like, God, this is really good. I think there might be some other people out there that might want to hear it too, so maybe you should think about putting this one up on YouTube. And I was like, ah, all right. So I threw it up there, and I've been really lucky with that specific cover. It's brought me actually some really cool opportunities, some that are in the works right now, and I don't want to say too much about it, but
yeah.
But until, you know, it all comes to fruition, because you know how that goes.
Don't jinx it yet.
Exactly. But made some really great connections, and actually some overseas, which is really cool. And I have heard through the grapevine that Blackie Lawless heard it and liked it, and that in itself
wow.
is pretty awesome. But yeah, I've heard from a few of the current and, you know, past Wasp band members that have said, you know, they never heard the song done like that, which is awesome. You know, that's just like super cool. And Randy Piper put something, you know, shared it, put it on his social networking site. So that was, because, you know, Randy Piper was one of the founding members, so that was really
yeah.
awesome, too.
It's really nice. Like, you're the second musician that I've heard in the past few months that did a cover, you know, yeah. of a song from a band that they were, that was kind of iconic mm-hmm. to them. And then that band took notice.
Right, yeah.
You know, and how big that has to be.
Yeah, it's very humbling, too, because, you know, when you hear something like that's kind of like, I did a cover also of Too Late by, Black Sabbath during the Dio years.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronnie James Dio is probably my number one, you know, person that I've always looked up to. And, just as a whole, I think he had the ultimate package. His voice is just amazing. And, so, you know, that's one of those that you have to be very careful how you cover a song like that. You don't want to come across as like, you know, you're trying to sound like that or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, I did a video of that as well, which is also on my YouTube channel. And, that, you know, it was just another one that, you know, you kind of like clam up at first because you're like, oh, I don't want anybody to think I'm trying to like outdo the original,
right.
or, you know, but then you just have to sit back and realize however it comes across to people is, you know, they have to know that, you know, that like that song, for instance, was one that I absolutely loved. And I just wanted to, you know, do it in my own rendition. And if people like it, they like it. And, you know, so that's kind of
I love that you said Black Sabbath during the Dio years.
Yeah.
Just, just being able to talk that way, you know, and say that, that, that is so cool that I don't know. I was always such a big 80s person, even, you know, long after the 80s were gone, before I really got into indie music. So I love it when people talk the 80s.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
And like, well, I was born in 86. So, like, you know, I only had like four years actually in the 80s. But, you know, just that whole influence. There's videos of me with my face like 2 inches away from the screen watching like Alice Cooper videos.
Yep.
And things like that.
You grew up with MTV back,
back
when, you know, there were videos.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. Lita Ford, Kiss Me Deadly was like my anthem when I was like 3.
I still follow Lita Ford like on all her social media. I love her.
Me too. And
I love The Runaway.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. She just had, like, oh, such attitude and just, oh, my God. I just think there's nothing better than that.
So, I know.
But then at the same time, then, you know, they would play, like, a Debbie Gibson video right afterwards, and I would love that just as much. So I think that a lot of that is, you know, where my style now has come into play is, you know, kind of when you look at somebody like Lita who has the edge and has, like, the rock side, but then somebody like Debbie Gibson who's, like, very soft around the edges, and you kind of put that together, that kind of is, kind of, I guess, my style a little bit. So it's funny how influences, even when you're very little, can, you know.
Oh, yeah. Stick with you.
Definitely.
And
really
I totally
you into the artist that you are now.
The next song is called Cut the Ties.
Suffocating, fighting to breathe. What have I done to make you not trust? Gotta see it from my perspective. Stop being so damn protective. Oh, oh, whoa, let me live. Oh, oh, whoa, let me breathe. Yeah, all the time. Please understand what you're doing to me. I need to make mistakes to learn to love me. I'm letting go. Oh, I'm breaking free. Yeah, I don't wanna compromise. Call the time. See it from my perspective. Stop being so damn protective. Oh, oh, whoa, let me live. Oh, oh, whoa, let me breathe. Yeah, all the time. Please understand what you're doing to me. I need to make mistakes to learn to love me. I'm letting go. Oh, I'm breaking free. Yeah, I don't wanna compromise.
you talked about too, The Great Gatsby and how you went to see it.
Oh, man.
And that you really loved Lana Del Rey's song.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you how you felt about The Great Gatsby too. Oh. And did you see the original?
Yes.
And
oh my gosh. I have always loved, one of my favorite movies of all time is the original with Robert Redford. And that's why when I heard they were remaking it with Leonardo DiCaprio, I almost died because I love him so much.
And don't you think that he looked, at the very beginning when they first show him, he really looked
like Robert Redford. Yeah, and a lot of his mannerisms were the same. And, you know, there's one specific part where they're in the hotel and he's kind of hanging over, like, the table or the bar or whatever. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you almost have to look twice to see if it is him.
I know. But really kind of embodied that.
Yeah,
you know,
That
part was real to me. And
definitely.
And again, you know, it's a movie remake, but it's like covering songs.
Yes.
Kind of like,
exactly,
oh my God,
right.
It's one of my favorite books.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
And a classic movie. And how do you remake it? And I would love the movie, but I have to say, and this is where I want your opinion too. The music kind of took me back.
Really?
Like when I first heard it, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, Jay-Z?
Oh, I know.
Great Gatsby.
Yeah, and that actually is probably my favorite part. At first, I was like, whoa, when you hear that first song and you hear Jay-Z rapping, and I'm like, wow, this is really weird. But I actually ended up buying the soundtrack, and I just love it. I think it's really cool how, you know, there's that different, like, more modern element. I think it really kind of ties it all together. The more I watch the movie, I bought it, of course, and I've been watching it.
I went on Mother's Day and watched it in the theater, and I do like the music. I do like the soundtrack.
Yeah.
It was just so hard for me to sit there and watch the movie and listen to the soundtrack at the same time and go, I just don't know how I can. It's just hard for me to, like, you know, do the whole Jay-Z take on The Great Kid.
I think it's. And that, too, like you said, it's like one of those opinions. Oh, my gosh, music as a whole is just so subjective. And I think that's something that, you know, one person might absolutely love it, and another person might think it's totally weird. So
my friend that I went with, she just, as soon as the first song came on, she's like, oh, my God, I love what they're doing this movie. I was like, I really hate what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like the songs. I just didn't like them with the movie. And I think it's just because I had my preconceived notions.
Right, and having a more classic look at it, like, especially after seeing, you know, Robert Redford version and hearing that music. I mean, that was all totally, you know, straight and, you know.
Very much the way it was with the book.
Right.
But DiCaprio, really, I have to say, when I first saw him, totally looked like Redford.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
I love it.
My breath away. I was like, wow, just the color of the red in the hair and everything.
Oh, I know.
It was very much like him, and it really did just kind of, you know, take me back surprised me, but it was awesome.
Next up is Stars in My Eyes.
Never thought Don't wanna hear your apology. Oh, watch me go run the other way. Don't wanna take part in your game. No, no.
You've also been nominated as Best Singer-Songwriter and for Best Adult Contemporary for the 2014 Artists in Music Award.
Yes, I have. Yeah, that's really cool. And I love that, you know, independent musicians have an outlet like that specific music awards. I think it's so cool what Mikey Day does for everybody and, you know, all of that. I mean, especially Butterflies Radio, you know, everybody. It's just really great that independent music has a niche, and it has such a great niche that is very tight-knit, and you start to see the same people's names, which is really cool, and
yeah.
I love that. I think it's great. I
love it, too. It's like a family.
Yeah, and everybody's so supportive. Like, you know, you're on Twitter, and you get, like, a shout-out from somebody who you don't even know, and, I mean, I think that that's really great, and that's really what, that makes me very proud to be part of the whole independent music community.
I love hearing that. I do, because I did the red carpet interviews at the Artists in Music Awards this past year for Butterflies.
Uh-huh.
And I told people when I came back, I said, I just wish I could explain it to you that nobody is like, I want to win and beat this person.
Oh, no, I know.
Everybody's very supportive of the other person winning, and they're taking pictures with each other on the red carpet. Yeah. And it's not just a photo op. It's very genuine.
Right, right. Yeah, I think it's really great. I love being a part of all of that stuff. So hopefully, you know, I wasn't able to be a part of the previous awards, but it'd be really great to be able to go this year. I think they were on my birthday last year. They're usually in February. Carol and I share a birthday. So we were talking about
that. Yes, we were there for Carol's birthday. Uh-huh. Yes, because we were there like a week, I think. Yeah, so, and it was very cold.
Oh, gosh, really?
It was cold for L.A. It was really strange. And I had this attitude that it's L.A. and I am not packing a jacket because it's L.A. and it's going to be really nice.
Right.
Probably like me. And, you know, I was trying to be tough about it and be like, oh, this isn't so bad. And Carol's like freezing the whole time.
Oh, I bet.
Queensland, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't think she had any winter clothes, like even at home, you know, no coats or anything. She never needed that. So bless Carol's heart. She was totally freezing the whole time. Well, I really hope that you get to go to the awards.
Yeah, that would be really great. I would love to be a part of it. I think, you know, and also, you know, the performers, I bet that's really cool to see, too. Like we were saying, you know, such a variety of talent and different types of bands and different types of music. And it's just really cool. There's so much creativity in independent music. And that's the, you know, what I don't want to say too much about the mainstream music, but I think we all share the same feeling that you hear kind of the same thing for a while. And that's what is so awesome, I think, about independent.
And I love that you all have YouTube and you have all these social media outlets where you can do videos and you can interact, and you're just so much more accessible to the fans.
Yeah.
And I say it again. I wish people, and I know lots of people do like indie music, and more people are starting to get into it, but for people who have misconceptions about it, God, you'll fall, and then you'll fall in love with it, and you don't want to listen to anything else.
Yeah, that's
go to a gig, and you get to, like, see the person that plays before the person you're there to see, or the person that plays after, and you've discovered new musicians at the same time, you know, so it's just it just keeps dominoing.
Oh, exactly. And some of my favorite music to listen to now is, you know, completely independent. And like people, like you said, people that I've either met that played before or after me or whatever. And, you know, people are, you know, they give you like their free CD or free iTunes download. And it's really great. It's just kind of like a give back kind of situation. And it just, like you said, it dominoes and it really is, it makes it easier for you to share your own music, but at the same time, you know, you're learning that much more about everybody else's as well. And it's just really great.
The next song is Play by the Rules.
And another place where I go on and on about Renman Music and Business, I don't know if you've seen that anywhere on my websites, but Steve Rennie, who is the Incubus manager, he started this Renman Music and Business. It's kind of like, well, it started out as just a small thing, but he's now going into his fourth season of, like, he calls it Renman Live. It's a show, like a live show, where he has guests on everything from, like, you know, the president of RCA Records to, like, you know, the person that created Shopify or whatever. Like, he has, like, all different kind of guests. And that's actually what I went out to LA for in November, to be a guest on his show as, like, an artist spotlight.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, for any indie musicians or anybody that wants to be in the industry that is listening to this right now, I highly, highly suggest that you go onto, I think it's renmanmb.com, and oh my gosh, you will learn so much. There's even, like, podcasts that he has from the different shows, and I actually was the first member of the site, which is really funny because now it has, like, thousands and thousands of members. But he's awesome because, like, you know, he's a big time manager, but he gives, you know, talks to anybody and gives anybody advice, like one-on-one advice. It's just really awesome. And that's something that through that site alone, I've met a ton of musicians and bands that I listen to now. So it's really awesome. So I highly.
And if you send me the link to that, I'll put that on my blog too.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so everybody can link to it.
Yeah.
Check him out.
Yeah, definitely, we'll do that. So,
and see, that's good. You know, you have an in, you know something that could help other people.
Right.
And it's just so, people just should network.
Yeah,
it really is.
It is.
People
great.
Really can get so much out of it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny I lived in Nashville, like I said, and everything down there was like, well, for me, Nashville wasn't a good fit. And I don't need to go on for hours about this because every interview I do, I always talk about it forever. But it just wasn't a good fit for me. And for some people, it's great. And it's funny because, you know, I've had people completely out of the blue email me, people I don't even know, artists or people that are thinking about moving down there, and saying, like, what didn't you like about Nashville? And it's good, though, that, you know, I can kind of give my 2 cents personally about what I thought about it with my style and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've had a lot of negative experiences in the industry since I started all of this, too. So it's good to, you know, be able to share that, just so maybe some people might not make the same mistakes I did or what have you. So, yeah, so if they can learn from, you know, my mistakes or even things that went well, then, you know, that's that much better. So I feel like at 27 years old and having done this indie scene since I was 12, I feel like I'm kind of like a veteran.
people should be calling you up.
I'm more than happy to, you know, give people advice about that, because it really is an uphill battle, and there's good days and there's bad days. But, you know, for the most part, if you keep your eye on the prize. You know, I've always said a major deal has not ever been my, you know, utmost goal. While it would be great, don't get me wrong. You know, it's always been more that I want to be able to share my music and my videos and everything with people that actually want to listen and want to hear more, and, you know, grow like some sort of an organic supporter base. And I feel like I'm, you know, doing that the most I can right now. So, you know, I feel successful at the moment personally with, you know, my own personal goals. So, you know.
Well, you're not the first person that I've heard, you know, say that Nashville is not what they thought it was going to
be. Yeah, definitely is different. Well, it's kind of a backstory. I won't give you too much, but I moved down there in 2008 when I was, you know, 22, and thinking that was, you know, I actually was talking to somebody at a label who, you know, when you're that young and new to the whole, you know, I'm just like out of college and moving into my next part of my life. And I thought that you know, anything, I basically what I did was I tried to change my sound to encompass like where I was. And that was the worst thing I could have done. And, you know, but through the process, I learned a lot about it. And actually, there's some songs on my EP that are about that. So I guess there's a good thing from it.
See,
but
good thing come out of it.
Yeah.
So now that you have, you know, the Nashville experience and now you're in New York,
yes.
What's the major difference to you and for your style and how that's been so different for you?
Well, a lot of Nashville, I noticed, was, you know, about the writer's rounds, and it was all about the story behind the song, which I, you know, I love songs that are written well. Don't get me wrong about that, too. I'm a songwriter also, so I totally respect what people do down there, and I think it's great. But, you know, you start to hear the same kind of style down there a lot. While there were some, you know, pop or rock people, for the most part, everybody was singing, like, you know, story songs, country songs, and and I always kind of felt like I was on the outside looking in when I was at those kind of things, because, you know, I would get up there with the piano and I would start playing, you know, these songs that were just totally different, and you know, some people were like taken aback, like, but in a good way, or some people were like, well, she's not doing country, so why is she here? You know, so I always kind of felt like I was on the outskirts, which I think helped, though, when I moved, you know, I started playing in more shows in New York, even when I was living in Nashville, and just the whole energy of New York, playing in New York, was a lot better for my personal style, and I felt like I belonged more. You know, I just felt like I was getting a better reception from the people that were around, so yeah, so I guess it's just all about the energy. I really thrive off of the energy in a room when I'm playing, and when you're playing to a room of people that are like, it's not great feeling.
My choice song of the night is Martyr.
Do you feel like New York's home, or
yeah,
are you just kind of like
Yeah, oh,
is it
definitely.
Like a vacation place?
No, I don't feel like it's a vacation place. I do feel like it. I do feel home in New York. I feel like, you know, you start to. I play a lot around Greenwich Village, and you really start to know the ins and outs. I've played in some really cool places, you know, places people wouldn't even really know about unless they, you know, were kind of in the, I don't want to say in the loop, but kind of, you know, if you're in the area, like there's a place called Zir Zameen that I played last December. I think they're closing, the last I heard, but that was one of the coolest places because it was just like a back room, but the sound was amazing. And they had this piano there that was kind of out of tune, super old. And I played, one of the songs I played was Uninvited by Alanis Morissette. And it sounded so haunting on that piano. It sounded like a horror movie or something, but it was just, the vibe of the room was really cool. And like I said, you know, being one who kind of thrives off of not only the energy of the people, but the energy of a room, it was really awesome.
And I've been in places where, you know, going to different venues where I totally love the room, and the other places I'm like, oh my God, I just, I really just don't like this. And I can't put my finger on why I don't like it, but
Definitely. Like one of my favorite places in Nashville, now that we're talking about Nashville, was actually my first show ever, was at the Bluebird Cafe. And and that was like a good way to introduce myself to the whole idea of playing shows, because, you know, it's kind of like, well, I didn't really know the history of the Bluebird until after I played it, which is probably good. I would have been really nervous if I had known it. But yeah, and afterward, you know, here I thought it was just this little hole in the wall place. And I'm looking around while I'm singing at all the different people's, you know, pictures that are on the wall. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, nice decor. And then afterwards they were like, yeah, all of those people have played in this seat you're sitting in right now.
I know. I was
like, oh, well then, all right.
So you're like, so, wow.
Yeah. But yeah, I always liked playing there because I like playing rooms that, you know, one of the things they say is like, you know, to be quiet for the whole show, which I think is really respectful to the writers and the singing. And recently, last month, my drummer Tyler and I played at Music Fest, which is in my hometown of Bethlehem. It's the the largest, I think it's the largest non-gated, like free music festival in the country.
Very cool.
And I grew up going to it, and so we played in like a theater, and you know, it's an actual like movie theater, but it has a stage, and that was awesome too, because everybody, you know, you have everybody's attention, and you know, my music, I always have something to say. I don't do a lot of talking, but I have, you know, my music, I like people to hear what I'm saying, and I really like that, you know. So that was another fun show that we just did. But then you have,
I'm a huge fan of listening rooms.
Yeah, me too. Yes. And speaking of listening room, that was another place I always liked in Nashville too. It's called the Listening Room, and places where people, like you said, you know, like actually are listening, and not, it's not just all about clanging your beers and, you know, stuff like that. So, well, I mean, those are fun too, but for the most part, I would prefer to play to a room of people that are, you know, not, like I said, stuffing their face with prime rib while you're trying to sing a song.
Eddie's Attic in Atlanta is absolutely one of my favorite venues because it's a listening room.
Oh, really?
And it's so fantastic. I love Eddie's Attic. I went there for an Easter show.
Oh, wow.
And Easter in the South, and it was sold out.
Oh, wow.
it was fantastic, you know, and the musicians like throwing peeps at everybody and chocolate Easter eggs.
You know. Yeah. What's funny about peeps, side note, is they're made in my hometown of Bethlehem, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And thought it was just about steel. No, it's about Marshall peeps.
Yeah, there is a car that drives around that has a massive peep on the top of it, and it is just awesome. You pass it.
I think I need to go there.
Oh, yeah.
That's a photo op and I'm
definitely.
Now, I didn't get asked you because we got to talk about other fun things, but you do music all the time. Is that your focus?
Yes, it's my full-time, my livelihood, my everything.
Your everything.
Yeah.
And did you major in something related to that in college?
No, I actually majored in journalism, and it's one of those things. Like, I kind of did it just to have a fallback plan, quote unquote, but I never wanted.
But it's not a good fallback.
Yeah, because I never, you know, I would never use it, and I never really planned on using it. I just wanted to have something to just to say I have it, I guess, one of those things. Yeah. But, you know, I've done some freelancing here and there for different publications. Nothing huge, actually. A couple things in Nashville here and there. But yeah, you know, it's just something that I have under my belt in case I would ever need to use it, I guess. But for the most part, I just hope to never have to use it.
Yeah, and I...
And the last song of the evening is called Love Struck.
You're a magnet and you stir to the walls of my heart. You're a photograph I can't rip up, 'cause it tears me apart. You make my mind spin over and under and inside out. I should step off your roller coaster.
I'm a little obsessed with food. Like, when I go on trips, road trips, or to gigs, or to different things, I want to eat locally.
Uh-huh.
It's really important to me to not eat at a chain, because I'm like, I could do that at home.
Right.
So if I'm somewhere that I'm just going to go maybe once or twice, I totally want to eat something that's to the area. Is there a place that you've eaten that it's just like, you've got to go there? And why? What is it about that place that...
Oh, man. Yeah. That is a great question. I'm not really like a food kind of person. I mean, of course I eat, but I tend to stick to like the chains because I know it's safe, which is not the way anybody should be. You should certainly experience the culture of wherever you are. But
I will send you a list.
That would be great. Because I'm always like, okay, there's an Applebee's. I know that's safe. but I don't know, really. I mean, I guess when I was in Nashville, I had never had, like, pulled pork sandwich or, like, barbecue before, because barbecue to me was always, like, the kind that my grandmother had always made, and she's Italian, and it's, like, not with barbecue sauce. It's, like, with ketchup and totally different ground meat. So that was probably when – I think it was actually at the Bluebird. They had – like the best barbecue I'd ever had in that way, like the pulled pork kind. So that was that'd probably be my answer, but like I said, I would really have to sit for a little while and think about it, because
I love the barbecue question, because when you get into barbecue, there's such a difference. There's Texas barbecue,
oh my gosh, I know,
there's Memphis barbecue, and there's Carolina barbecue.
Right
I love Carolina barbecue. But then I like Witt's in Nashville. I love going to Witt's. But Demos was my favorite place.
Oh, is that? Yeah, okay. Is that right downtown, I think, right?
It is. Yeah.
I've never been. And that's the thing. Even when I was living in Nashville, I'd go to, like, McDonald's.
Oh, my God. They have such great food there, too.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny. Carol and Mark always talk to me about – they always tease me, because the first time I did the Twitter Tuesday Live, I was still in Nashville.
I remember that.
Yeah. You were probably listening. And it was so funny because I was on my way home from somewhere, a show or something. I don't even know. And I knew I wasn't going to get home in time. And I had my laptop with me. And I always carry, like, a microphone, you know, like an external microphone just in case. And I knew I wasn't going to get home. There was traffic. And I think at the same time I was, like, almost in the process of moving, so I didn't have internet at home. I was totally pulled off the McDonald's Wi-Fi. So they kept asking me questions about Happy Meals and all kinds of things.
I totally remember that show, because that was so fun.
Oh, my gosh, it was so funny. And, like, it would go in and out, and I was like,
Yes.
And they were like, how is your cheeseburger?
It was so funny. I had a guest like that one night. Well, the other question is, like, when you tour, when you've toured or played, do you have any good stories from the road?
Oh, gosh.
And don't go the normal route with, the nice, well-behaved ones. I know people do bad things, and bad things happen on tours, and I'm always like, come on, show that side.
Yeah, I don't think I really, it's funny, because I'm like, I don't drink and I don't do anything like that, so I don't have any stories like that.
Nothing bad happened around you or crazy around you?
Other than one time I was in an airport and somebody came up to me and asked me to hold a package, and they looked totally sketchy. And at first I was like, and then I was like, but then I just turned around and walked away. That's probably the worst story I have. I don't really think.
You could have been like on Betty White's Off the Rocker.
Oh, I know.
It could have been punking you.
Oh, I know. It could have been, who knows? Yeah, it could have been like some bomb or something. I don't even know. But yeah, I don't really have a lot of stories like that. Thankfully, I'm sure if I sat down and really thought about it for a while, I would be able to come up with something. But.
Oh, you will. Like 2 a.m, you'd be like, oh, I know. I remember that story now.
Yeah, I don't really think so. I think everything, thankfully, so far has been pretty smooth sailing.
Anybody that goes to one of Melissa's shows now, give her a good story from the road. I think your best story from the road is doing the interview in the McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It doesn't get better than that.
It doesn't get better than that. It really doesn't.
Thank you for tuning in this week with me and Melissa, and I really hope you enjoyed it. Tune in tomorrow night for Twitter Tuesday Live, and then I'll see you back here again next Monday night with another great guest. Have a great week.